a travel writer, and so this is a bit of a short story about when my ex and I took a trip out to Vera from the Kilkeel, Ireland, with such an alliterative name, you just know that wacky things are bound to take place. Seriously, try it on for size. Kilkeel. Not to be confused with Kilkeel in County Down. Okay, got it? Now add castle to the mix. That's right. Kilkeel Castle. And guess what? There are lots of in Kilkeel. That's right. Cows. And young cattle are called what? Calves. But first, let's back up a moment to what captured our curiosity and caused us to curtail our countryside cruising. A sign that read, "Keep Kilkeel Tidy." We saw the sign and recognized it as representing the Tidy Towns initiative. As the ex pointed out, however, it was a missed opportunity on the part of the town. We cannot help but think that the sign would have been much more effective had it read, "Keep Kilkeel Clean." In any case, it amused us so much, we turned around and headed back to take a picture so that you, gentle reader, would be able to share our mirth. Originally, it was just going to be a feature photo titled Missed Opportunity. However, since we had gone through the trouble to turn around and park, we thought we might as well visit the cute little castle. We planned to stop for a few moments, grab some nice shots, and continue on our way. We enjoyed reading about the very dramatic history of the wee castle as explained on some informative plaques near the gate. For instance, the castle is built on a rock outcrop on the north bank of the Owain River, which flows into Foundry Bay at probably 93 miles away. Riveting, no? Well, it was worth it just to see the name of one of my favorite Irish towns in print again, Ballylickey. In other news, yes, I am 12 years old. Really, though, there was quite a lot of drama, as evidenced by a poem which tells the story of how Donald Cam got vengeance for the death of his wife. This is the vow he made at her grave. No food, no rest shall Donald know until he lays thy murderer low, until each severed quivering limb in its own lustful blood shall swim. Gosh. Upon entering the gates, a rather modern affair comprised of two hinged doors set into the original stone, we looked around and found it to be small but well attended, dare I say, tiny. A recently built structure had modern tables and chairs inside. We speculated that it was used for community gatherings. As it was closed and locked, but there was a picnic table in the courtyard. I took a few unsatisfactory shots, trying to adjust for angles, avoiding modern signage, and hoping some of the color would come out despite the glare of the overcast day and my lack of expertise at fiddling with manual settings. I decided to switch over to the wide-angle lens, which has a polarizing filter, to see if I could coax anything more interesting out of the scene. I set the camera bag and other gear on the picnic table. I could see some dirt where I looked through the camera. I wasn't sure if it was on the lens, blah, blah, blah. So I set about cleaning it. When I'd just gotten to the part where I removed my go-to 17 to 85 millimeter lens, I heard a noise of someone else entering the courtyard. I figured I'd look up and greet them after finishing the delicate business of switching to the wide angle. Then I heard the ex's voice calling my name in a soft tone. Katrina. Me, exasperated. What? I'm busy. It's a cow. Me, what? I looked at him, frowning. He was looking toward the castle. I followed his gaze, and for a moment the scene failed to register. It was, in fact, a cow. In the castle, with us. All right, so not a full-grown bovine, as such, but a young bull calf. He was a bit disoriented, and in his confusion had some run-ins with the ropes and the signs around the base of the tower. I don't think it was intentional, but the picture sure made it look like he was attempting to vanquish his evil nemesis, Signpost. Signposts of the world, take note, your days are numbered. After my somewhat shocked photo-taking, I told the ex to get out. I knew he wasn't particularly familiar with the behavior of farm animals. I was more used to horses and cattle, but I'd spent a couple of summers in the Carolinas with family on their farms, where I was nearly run over by a very angry and possibly demented cow, I might add, so I'm not sure why I was feeling so brave. I was concerned that the sign-conquering little guy could end up out on the road and be in danger of getting hit by a car. I instructed the ex to put my camera away while I kept an eye on the calf and made sure he didn't run out the gates. I didn't know if we could close them, but I was hoping so. The ex made his way to the gates and determined that, yes, they could be closed, so he set about doing it. As the calf charged around a bit, tussling with the ropes and posts a few more times, but when he neared the gate, I would shoo him away, yelling and waving my arms. The ex got the gate closed, and they slipped by me. Whew, how crazy was that? The ex, a cow, what the hell? Me, I guess I'll take my camera and go see if I can find the neighbor to notify. The ex, silence. Me, where's my camera? The ex, on the table. Me, what? The ex, what? There was a cow. Me, silence. I went in search of someone to tell, praying to the camera gods that my faithful little digital rebel would still be in one piece when I returned. I suppose I could have slipped back in to get it, but was pretty sure it would be okay. Spoiler, it was. The first neighbor was not home. I started to walk toward another house down the road a bit and saw some folks parked by the river. Something about them said German tourist, but I couldn't put my finger on it. But hey, Ireland is getting darned international these days, so they could have been expat residents like myself. I sallied bravely forth. Are you from around here? Well, you see, I was just in the castle, and the calf came running in, and we locked the gate, no worries, but we're trying to find the owner. Was that a slight raising of the eyebrows I detected? Eyes darting to look at a friend's face, a slight smirk. No, nothing okay, thanks. Cheery wave. A second neighbor, an older lady named Angela, was home and quite a bit more sympathetic than the alleged Germans. I explained that we had seen no broken fences nor agitated farmers nearby, and that the calf was red and white. The last was important because all the surrounding birds were probably Frisians. She promised to make a few phone calls. Immediately, I strode back off to the castle to retrieve both my camera and my ex. I passed the doubtful Deutschlanders and shouted cheerily, so yeah, don't go in the castle right now. Wave, grin, further frowns, and I imagined as I turned away, head shake swallowed. Angela had inquired whether or not we'd noticed the number on the calf's ear tags or head tags or something. Only I don't think the term was head tag. It was something much more farmery. Stock tag? Head stock? In any case, I had to get my camera, so I snuck back to the gate and grabbed my gear, snapped a few more pics to get the tag number, and slipped back out. Angela was just stepping out of the car, driven by a younger woman as I exited. I gave her the number off the tags, and she peeked through the gate. He seems a bit wild, I nodded. You must know about animals, I smiled and mentioned the horses and the summers on the cattle farms. Good thing it was you and not someone who was frightened of animals. I smiled even bigger, ego stroked. We checked the gate to make sure it was as secure as we could get it, said goodbye to Angela and set off toward the car. As we crossed the Kyoto Bridge, we heard the calf calling out to anyone who would listen. His cry seemed to say, I am calf, slayer of signs and master of the castle. Let the posts of the world know that I am coming. Hear my mighty lowing and tremble in thy boots. The ex and I looked at each other and giggled. We locked a calf in a castle today. When I got home, I went on Twitter and told the world of our deeds. I locked a cow in a castle today. What did you do?
Thanks very much for that, matey. Next up, we'll have the very troublesome Mary O'Connell, please.
Sorry, Mary, I just wanted to drop that down to the area.
Thank you. Did I take issue with being called troublesome? This is an offering which arose out of an exercise where the end of the poem had to read and roared for hours at the moon. So this is it. It's called Hemmed In. Another sleepless night. This one-time prison, now his lodging. Above, the thud of bass drums and marimba pounding through his ceiling. Three letters of complaint and no reprieve. Facing his tormentor, he asked for quiet. The man from Cameroon towered over him. Alors, the music comes from somewhere else. Why you keep blaming me? He backed away. Steps slapping on the concrete stairs, down to the airless room, his unmade bed. Remembered the nights Orion blazed overhead, when he would roam the fields in freedom, looking for grazers, follow the curve of Venus. Now, hunched in the narrow bunker, a place of dissonance jarring his nerves, powerless and homeless, he felt his reason slip, knew he must go outside, draw in deep breaths of air, past the bands tightening on his ribs. His bones itched to strike out for the woods. Only some action, gesture, or some sound would ease the rage expanding in his chest. Once he attained a clearing, he left his head fall back, opened his throat, and roared for hours at the moon.
Thank you. Very good. I didn't see that one coming, Mary. It was spoiler alert here. Emily Davis Fletcher, please, next.
Between us, revealing your body rising like steam, light and fierce, a buoyant bull carrying off another. I bite the tail feathers of thoughts set to migrate with each fallen minute, somewhere dark and sultry, where sweat collects between thighs. I set one feather at a time upon my tongue to weigh another silence, where shadow falls over me from two peaks, one shorter, rounder. I run a finger over the soft cliff of your top lip, decide to trust what I hear, echoed by the soft points of our feet, meeting under a thin sheet that ripples when we move together.
That was beautiful, Emmy. Thanks very much. Seamus Harrington, please.
You are here after Jerry. The mist room falls away astern. He juggles papers in a rush, bounding up the companionway, keeping to the navigable channel on the right. Lights and shapes are revisited. The class workgroups huddled over almanacs and symbols, parallel rulers and dividers wink at the ready. Handouts of celestial navigation make a transit of the chart room. Now before we get our bearings, a scuttle. One of the hands has hit the deck, fainted. A blip of pulse, polar faced, no inclination to take a sip of liquid. He is shipped out by his mates. 997, crawling slowly. At 14:13 on Midsummer's Day, we undertake the tricky crossing of the busy sea corridor at the Nautical College. Visibility, good. The card is swiped, we swing through double doors to B block, the third waypoint. Then leaving the fountain to port, we head straight on. The sick bay lies due west. Conditions moderating. Survivors mustered at his desk, pint in horror, adrift in the foggy flotsam of dog-eared admiralty charts, tables of magnetic variation, instruments of exact...